Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Yehovah said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. As a new school year begins, it is very good to look to the Lord. He is the fountain of all uses, our teacher who provides us with the ability to learn and grow, and the Word made flesh who leads us to become truly human in his image. The Lord is Yehovah God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, who supplies the energy that keeps the suns burning throughout the universe and who keeps our hearts beating from moment to moment. He is love itself and wisdom itself, use itself and order itself. When we had turned ourselves away from him to the point that we hardly knew who he is and whether he is, then out of love for us, he wrapped up his infinite love and wisdom in an ordinary human nature and was born into the world to be with us and to save us. In this process, he set us an example of how children can grow up from infancy to adulthood, prepared for service in his kingdom forever. The call of Abram, in its deepest sense, tells of the Lord Jesus in the earliest state of his childhood. This story is about Jesus' first awakening to the presence of God within him and turning to him. In a few words, the holy narrative summarizes the tender states of the Lord's infancy, which prepared him for this call, the obstacles he would have to overcome in answering it, and the divine promise and purpose he would fulfill as he drew near to God. There are more arcana, more deeply hidden things involved in this story of the Lord's first states, the heavenly doctrine says, than a man or angel could ever think of or express. We should approach the Lord God with a sense of mystery and awe. As the psalm says, I come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. In thy fear do I worship toward the temple of thy holiness. Yet at the same time, we sense the appeal of this story to states when the Lord is calling us. The Lord's story is the model for our regeneration, and every detail has meaning. What was it like for the Lord Jesus as a little child to hear the call? The story begins with the words, Yehovah said. In ancient times, people used these words for every dictate from the Lord. When they felt admonished by their conscience, or when they saw how something from the word could be applied to their life, they said, Yehovah has spoken. In the case of the Lord as a little child, these words refer to his first awareness that he was called to put on divine qualities. The Lord was now aware for the first time that Yehovah had spoken, and in his mind, he turned to the leading of the divine that was within him. To get an idea of what it was like for the child Jesus, we must realize that the Lord chose to be born in the way every other person is born. He did not simply appear as a full-grown adult. By being born, he put on the weaknesses or the spiritually diseased states of the human race. Through these states, the hells attacked him. And then he subjugated them and put them back in order. He rescued us from an overpowering influence of evil genii and spirits. He set all mankind free so that each of us can freely choose between heaven and hell. For this purpose of subjugating the hells, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world with two distinct natures. He was conceived from Yehovah God. His soul was the infinite, eternal, divine essence. The divine essence is called the Father in the New Testament. But he was born of an ordinary woman, a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel Gabriel therefore said to Mary, when she asked how she could conceive without a husband, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Each of us has two sets of hereditary characteristics, one from each of our parents. These two heredities not only determine the shape of our bodies and the color of our eyes, but they also influence our mental dispositions and character. Since the time of the fall, people have transmitted to their offspring tendencies mainly to evil, more spiritual weaknesses than strengths. The doctrine teaches that the weaknesses we inherit from our mother are relatively external, pertaining mainly to the body. The Lord disperses these weak aspects if we are regenerated. But the heredity that we receive from our Father is internal, pertaining to the soul. Through regeneration, the Lord removes the paternal heredity more and more to the peripheries of our minds. The result is that we can pass on an improved inheritance to our children, and hereditary evils do not trouble our lives after death. Still, the paternal heredity remains with us to eternity. The Lord's heredity from the Father, his soul, was the divine itself. But from the mother, the Lord derived weaknesses and obscurities of mind, like those of all people. These weaknesses separated his human consciousness from the divine soul that was within him. But through his battles with the hells, he put off all these infirmities and made his human essence completely one with his divine essence. Because of his maternal heredity, Jesus was not aware of his own divinity immediately at birth. The human nature that he had put on through Mary was not divine. As we have both the voice of conscience and also selfish inclinations, so the Lord, before his glorification, had two natures, one divine and one merely human. His human nature at birth needed to be awakened to receive the divine consciously. What was Jesus called to do? In the story, Abram represents the Lord's human essence, and Yehovah represents his divine essence. And Yehovah said to Abram, "Get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house." Terah, Abram's father, was an idolater living in an idolatrous country. We too are idolaters if we value external, worldly, and bodily things, such as money, popularity, pleasures, or knowledge, more than heavenly things, such as integrity, the love of truth, love to the Lord, and charity toward the neighbor. Applying these words to ourselves, then, the Lord calls us to move away from our fascination with external things, so that he can lead us to the land that he wants to show us, the heavenly Canaan. In the Lord's case, he never did or fantasized doing any evil. The Lord in his human nature never set earthly things above divine heavenly things in his mind, but he did have hereditary leanings to do so. When the Father or the divine soul within called him, he began to be aware, even in infancy, that in order to be led by the divine, he must not allow external, worldly goals to distract him from the heavenly and divine purposes of the Father, calling to him from within. Together with this call, Yehovah promised Abram great blessings. This promise wonderfully expresses the longing that was the Lord's inmost love and his constant thought during his life on the earth. His longing was that by making his human divine, he might enable all people to know and approach him as divine man and so receive his blessings. "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." The great nation is the Lord's kingdom in the heavens and on the earth. Everyone in the universe who is open to the good of love and charity. Thus, while he was still a child, it was promised to Jesus, or we could say, from his divine soul he foresaw that by having put on a human nature and then making it divine, he would enable us to be saved from hell. A great heavenly nation would come from him. We would be conjoined with him in his divine humanity, and he would be the source of all our blessings. What wondrous love and determination we glimpse when we reflect on who the Lord Jesus really was. And Abram went as Yehovah had spoken to him. When the Lord, as a little child, had once turned toward the divine, his progress toward uniting his divine life with his human nature never paused until the union was complete on Easter. What was the Lord's state when he first heard the call? What was it like? His state at the beginning of his childhood is represented to us by Abram's household and companions as Abram set out for the land of Canaan. We read, "And Abram departed, and Lot went with him. And Abram was a son of 75 years, or 75 years old, when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the souls whom they had acquired in Haran." Abram himself represents the Lord, especially the heavenly things in his human at that time, such as the states of innocence we so often see with little children. Lot, who went with Abram, represents the Lord's childlike preoccupation with sensuous things, for little child's thoughts do not go beyond his sense experiences. The Lord's early childhood, as with all little children, was a state of the innocence of ignorance, unreflecting willingness to be led. This innocence makes a child willing to learn new things and to change and grow. But it is not in itself a state that makes us heavenly, since our innocence at this stage has not been established by our own choices. Therefore, there is little of what is truly holy with us in infancy, though there's great potential. This is the deeper meaning of Abram being a son of 75 years when he went forth out of Haran. 5 meaning just a little, a handful. 70, what is holy. Haran, a Gentile city, represents the ignorance and obscurity of the Lord's infancy and childhood. This is the state the Lord was now to leave behind. The Lord had certain truths, even in his earliest state. They are represented by Sarai, Abram's wife, and by Lot, Abram's brother's son. Sarai represents truth that was married to the childlike innocence with the Lord. This first truth is called in the Arcana Celestia sensuous truth. It consists in seeing all earthly and worldly things as being created by God and for a purpose, and in seeing in each of them an image of God's kingdom. Children spontaneously believe the Lord made all things for a useful purpose. This is not necessarily a matter of articulate thought with little children, but rather an intuitive point of view that comes from the innocence of their state. As parents, we want to foster the sense that the Lord God has created all things with good purposes in his mind. Abram took with him all the substance and all the souls they had acquired, both servants and animals, in Haran. These stand for all the knowledge and affections which the Lord had received in infancy up to the first state of childhood when he first heard the divine call. This is how Abram and his household went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. The Holy Land represents the heavenly and divine things, As the Lord followed the divine call within him, heavenly states came to rule in his mind, bringing a clearer sight of the divine. So, when Abram came to the oak grove Moreh, there Yehovah appeared to him. The grove of trees represents the Lord's first perception, that as he carried through the process of making his human nature divine, all who follow him would be saved. Yehovah said, "To your seed I will give this land." The seed of Abram is everyone who has faith in the Lord, from love to him and charity toward the neighbor, for they inherit the heavenly Canaan. When anyone comes into a heavenly state, he or she receives perception from the Lord, and the Lord appears to him. That is, we see in that state that the Lord is with us, leading us. We can have something like heavenly perception in the dictates of conscience whenever we are in a state of charity. How much more must this have been the case with the Lord, the Arcana observes, who from infancy advanced to Yehovah and was conjoined and united to him so that they were one. These were some of the first states of the Lord's life on earth as he began to achieve the greatest miracle of all, the uniting of the human with the divine. According to the same divine order, he leads us to conjunction with himself. The call comes from his love in the obscure remnants of our childhood's innocence. By these states, the Lord calls to us from within. It is the call to lead a useful life, serving our neighbors with integrity. As we answer this call, turning away from external things in order to approach the Lord, our love grows stronger until we receive a sight of the Lord and his leading in the dictates of conscience. In this way, we become part of that great nation blessed by the Lord. The promise made to the Lord as a child, the dream of his divine love, is fulfilled. And I will make of you a great nation, and you shall be a blessing. Amen. Now to the one only God, the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.